The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus. iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. There's a way to start the show right there.
Yeah, you might be in for another gross show today. All right.
Oh, no, I'm cool. Just a moment there. On the show today, football. Matt Brown will join us here momentarily to talk all things NFL, all his plays. I got my plays coming up here in a few minutes that I will share. This is one of these weeks where, unlike last week where I was kind of behind all the lines, ahead of all of them guessing lines this week.
There you go.
If you tune into guessing lines. So it's a good week in terms of that. Now, whether that will translate to cashing at the window, who knows? But we'll get into that momentarily. Kelly's got his. Dr. Bob will join us. National championship thoughts from Dr. Bob as well on the show today. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. That's always fun. We'll do all that. Before we get to my picks, Kelly, may I just ask you about the NBA? The NBA had a doubleheader last night, and it could not have gone better as a showcase for the league. We'll start with the nightcap first. The nightcap, Nikola Jokic with a 39-foot buzzer beater to push for some who had the Warriors +3, which is the worst push ever. And if you had the Warriors on the money line, my condolences to you. The Warriors were up, what was it, 16 with 5 minutes to go in this game?
Yeah, 18 at one point, I think.
18 at one point. But it was
like 18 with like 6 minutes left or something.
Yeah. They win. The Nuggets win 130 to 127 despite 30 from Steph, 24 from Clay, and they get it done. I had a thought, by the way, at the end of the third quarter, the Warriors, I believe, were up 13, and I had a thought in my head. I was like, can they blow this? Of course, I didn't bet it. And then I didn't think that halfway through the fourth quarter, right? That thought had been purged. And somehow the Nuggets get it done. Aaron Gordon's great down the stretch. That was the nightcap. The first game, and I want to ask you about some betting implications here. The Spurs and the Bucks, and the Bucks end out outlasting the Spurs 125 to 121 because the Spurs are in Pistons territory in terms of their record. But Giannis, 44, 14, and 7 in 39 minutes of play. And more interestingly, from our standpoint, Wembanyama, 27, 9, and 5 blocks in 26 minutes of play. In a game that was filled with highlight reels of both players, Wembanyama making blocks on one end. There was one sequence where he made a block and then he hit a three late. There was another one where he threw the ball off the backboard, caught it, and jammed it. A third one where he went around his back. The one where he went around his back and jammed it.
That was incredible.
Was so incredible because you can't even see him dunk it. It's
right,
so quick.
Yes.
I suppose if the rim was just above my eye level, you wouldn't see me do it either. But
I had to rewind it three times to make sure he dunked it like I thought he dunked it. Because I was like, oh, maybe, you know, he's so long, right?
He's so long.
I'm like, maybe he just like dropped it in, like he didn't even dunk it, just dropped it in because he moves so fast. Or I was like, did Brooke Lopez block it in? Like I thought that for a second too.
Brooke Lopez looks like a small forward next to him.
I know.
Playing that. Anyway, my question to you becomes, you know, because we talked about, I think it was earlier this week, even maybe it was late last week with JVT, how Chet Holmgren has become the favorite in the NBA Rookie of the Year market. Did we go a little too far with Chet Holmgren here? Because you can get Wembanyama at plus money. Do you really feel like if there's any vague quality at the end of the NBA season that Wembanyama will not get this? I get it. If Holmgren wins it, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that's one thing. But if there's any kind of doubt, all things equal-ish, doesn't Wembanyama get this?
No, because I think if all things equal-ish, does that mean you're talking about one team that's going to be in the playoffs and probably a top six seed in the West?
Does that matter for Rookie of the Year in the NBA?
It should, in my opinion.
Does it ever?
I don't know that it does. I don't know that it will. I hear you. But it should. I mean, the fact that he's been a key contributor, I mean, you could argue that he's been the second best player on the Oklahoma City Thunder while they've been one of the best teams in the NBA. It should.
I don't know if it will, Gil, but
it should.
What I will give you is they probably should win a few more games.
Five wins right now, come on, you can't suck. And Wemby on, I'm sorry, but Wemby on TV and Wemby versus other megastars is becoming a thing. You're not seeing those kind of Wembanyama highlights on a Tuesday night when they're playing against the Grizzlies, right? Like, you're seeing that when they're playing against the Bucks and their crappy defense, that's for sure. But when Giannis is on the other side, and it's very clear that both of those guys got something they want to kind of say to the other guy with their basketball game, right?
The other one is Wembanyama. Wembanyama is short plus money, and Chet Holmgren is just south of $2. But the other one is Defensive Player of the Year. Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Like, real quick, I don't hate the bet. I think if you're in the mindset now of, hey, this is it, I'm sure this is down to two guys, and there is enough time left in the NBA season that I can scoop up plus money prices on either side. Yeah, I think there's a good chance that you see at some point in the next month or whatever, Wembanyama leap over Chet and become the favorite again. That's completely possible. So I think if you have that mindset, sure, go away, go to town.
Not to diminish Chet Holmgren in any way, he was having a fantastic season. And then appropriately priced for Defensive Player of the Year at 18-1. Shouldn't be any shorter than that, right? He's about the fourth player in that market.
Yeah, I mean, and that's another one that I think you could make an argument for Chet too. It's incredible that you have both these rookies that are playing that level of defense, playing that level of defense that well. It's been incredible what both these guys are doing. I think it's still Chet Rookie of the Year for me. I have my eye on this because I haven't bet into Chet yet. We talked about that like a couple weeks ago. There was enough reaction in the market last night to bring that price down to a point where I might be jumping in on Chet.
Yeah. Okay. NFL Week 18. These are the plays that I have made. These are the bets that I have made. These are in the account already, and I will just say this in terms of the Megapod, Kelly, the Beating the Book Megapod, where our guest yesterday was Brad Feinberg from NBC Sports Philly. He did a great job on the show yesterday. 34-16-1 is my record, and I haven't done the research in terms of going through the annals of Megapod history, which extends back more than a decade, but I'm going to guess that if I go 2-1 or 3-0 here, it's an all-time record for anybody on the show ever. And nice. If that's the case, I'm trying to set this as high as possible for it never to be broken. Because 37-16-1 would be something.
Yeah, that's pretty damn good. That's pretty damn good.
And I'll just say this again. And even then, like, if you translate the 34-16-1 percentage to the circa millions, I wouldn't win.
I wouldn't even come close. Like, I don't want to make you feel bad, but like, as a bystander,
that's incredible.
That's been my favorite part, right? Yeah. Because a lot of us talk about that. I don't know a lot of us that have gone back and actually looked at the documentation of like, hey, it feels like my first three picks are always safe.
Oh.
And then 4, 5, and definitely 5. Who the hell knows?
This is the point that I've been trying to make.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to go 3 deep, apparently I'm your guy. If you want to go 5 deep, get away from me because I can't even get to 60% on it. So here are the 4 bets that I have in the account, and these will be no surprise to folks who listen to Guessing Lines on Monday. I bet these within 24 hours of Guessing Lines, and I got the best of most. Now, the Bears I did buy to the 3.5 as a bet at -133. I, like most people, Aaron Schatz was on the show this week. He was talking about weighted DVOA and how the Bears are 7th in weighted DVOA. I talked about this. If it ever got to 3.5, I was going to jump on it. I got the feeling with the juice that it wasn't going to, so I bought it. Bears +3.5 against the Packers at Green Bay, a game that Green Bay wins, and they are in the postseason. Again, that's the thing with Week 18. Just because you're in a must-win situation, or the Dr. Bob line, if you're in a must-win situation, must not mean that you're, what was the line? If you're in a must-win, oh, you must not be that good. By the way, I say that to Bobby, goes, that's not exactly what I say. I go, no, it sounds better when you say it that way. So the Packers giving 3 in this ball game right now, consensus. But I have the Bears +3.5 at -133. Now, these were all at the standard lines at the time. Raiders were -2.5. I guessed Raiders -4 on Guessing Lines. The Raiders have done nothing to dissuade me or to make me feel bad about this play. They've only encouraged this for me because you got guys like Devontae Adams who have been out there saying, we want Antonio Pierce to be our coach. And I feel like they're a better football team than the Broncos. Anyway, I've been down on the Broncos while most have tried desperately to make them a thing here in the Sean Payton era. And I like the Raiders -2.5 here in Las Vegas. That's a play for me. I just feel like they're the better football team. I think they're going to actually roll in this game. That's my hunch on it. And then the other ones, one is Saturday, one is Sunday night, the bookend games, if you will, of this week 18. I grabbed the Ravens plus +4 in this ball game. Again, the Steelers, not a 100% sacred must-win situation, because there are scenarios where the Steelers actually lose and can still weasel their way into the postseason. But I like the Ravens plus +4. I knew it wasn't going to be Lamar Jackson, but it's sort of this Malcolm Gladwell blink thing with me, where you just can't assume that the team that has something to play for and the team that does not, that the team that does not is going to lay down. We saw an RG3 Ravens game in this situation in 2019 where the Ravens performed well. I think they perform well enough to cover here as well. And I think Steelers backers ought to beware on this Saturday game. I think the Ravens, first of all, if the Ravens did have something to play for, what's the line in this game, as Will Hill was talking about yesterday?
Oh, gosh. I mean,
11 points different, right. 12 points different.
I was like, well, Ravens minus 11 may be high, but no, 11 point difference. Yes, probably.
So I got the Ravens plus +4 in that one. And then the line that I couldn't understand at all was the Sunday night game. When Wyatt told me this was Bills minus -3, even factoring in all the Dolphins injuries, and they have been a lot lately, of course, with Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips being knocked out for the year, Xavier Howard as well on that list. But I was like, Dolphins plus, I'll take the Dolphins plus +3. You're giving me the full +3 on this? I guess Dolphins minus -2.5, even with the injuries. So to me, this line was just crazy. So those are the four bets that I have. We'll find out what Kelly's are later. We'll find out what Matt Brown's are on the other side. He joins us, the co-host of The Handle here, 7 p.m. Eastern weekdays, and of course the All Angles podcast. That's next. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Looking a bit smarter? Then VSiN has the perfect holiday gift for you. Sign up on our holiday special today. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $79. Sign up today. Get unlimited access to daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, and 24/7 video, plus all our betting guides and best bets for all college bowl games, the Super Bowl, and March Madness. Don't miss out on this limited time holiday offer, though. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up on our holiday special now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. I say smarter because there could be a nor'easter in Foxborough this weekend. Check the weather with that game and the Baltimore game tomorrow, which we'll get in here momentarily. First, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Pat Moran, great story about your dad taking you to Skins games on the Megapod. So true, I laughed out loud. Oh, let's talk about my dad saying, isn't this better at home with a sandwich? Brandon Fear, love the pod, Gil. Agreed to everything on the Justin Fields thing. One thing, though, I think you'll enjoy this take. I think the Bears should trade back one spot, get May, and Washington gets Williams. Bears get more picks and trade Fields. Bears don't want a prima donna at quarterback, building an even nastier defense. That's what they should do. Probably not a popular take, but I think it makes sense. This is from Scott Cupp. Hey, Gil, I have a Joe Flacco bet 50-1 comeback player of the year. Should I lay minus -140 on Hamlin for a hedge or just ride it out? And when do they give out these awards? They give out the awards February 8th. And yes, I think you should take some DeMar Hamlin. And then this is let's do these first. Prime time Cowboys.
I like these easier hedge questions. It's not even a true hedge, but sometimes we get these questions and you're like,
multi-dimensional chess ones. Yeah. Primetime Cowboys _ Cubs one. I'm sorry. This is a tribute to Kelly starting his
he's in my head
cold takes. I'm sorry, but wishing you a happy new year for the last time of 2024. But let me be the first to wish you and Kelly the happiest of birthdays, whenever they may be. Am I crazy, or do you both look like marshmallows? And John Balducci, great pod. Can we get a weekly Megapod update of the result of Todd Wishnev random in-game hoops bet, talking about the one that 98.8% of the pod audience will hear 5 hours after the game ends? Yes, we will. And Bobby Geddes, one of my four rules of betting is don't triple down on live NBA. So of course I live bet the Nuggets 4 times last night, and it was the luckiest cover of all time. Always got to remember the lucky ones too. And this is from Todd, TYA558. Matt, you and I both got this morning. Matt Brown joins us, ladies and gentlemen, the co-host of The Handle weekend, 7 p.m., which he does with Mike Somich here on the network, and of course the All Angles podcast, which he does 3 times a week. And I'm told by Matt last week that once the football season ends, it becomes the no Angles podcast.
No angles. We didn't have any angles. We've had no angles so far this week because no Thursday. We've had no angles so far.
The angles are falling.
Yes.
So Todd, TYA558 said, let's talk millions on the show today, boys, asking for a friend. So I said to him, I go, are you in this? And you said to me, he is.
He is very in this.
What place is he in?
Let's just say in the big time cash area. Yes. I don't know if he wants us to review that, but that was that was the DM part of it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
but he's
in it.
Big time.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time. By the way, shout out before we answer his question. Shout out to Matt Humans again. Matt Humans is first and third in the Millions Quarterly. I happen to know the guy who's in second. And so Humans first and third, I would imagine Humans has to go the strategy of whatever he's been doing has been doing great. So pick his five handicap wise. And he's got to go Oppo on the other one, right?
Yeah, probably. I mean, he's got to mix it up somehow, right? Like you've got two there to play with.
Because if you go 5-0 on ideally 5-0 on the top one, but even if you go 5-0 on the number three one, you're going to be in good shape. 5-0 or 4-1. The worst case scenario for him doing that is 2-3 on top and 3-2 in the third, I guess. And that's tough for a guy like, I would imagine, I don't speak for Matt, but for a guy like Humans who does it by his own handicapping acumen, to sort of punt on the second entry might be difficult for him, but you got to play it that way, right? Because if I'm the second place dude that I know, that's what I would hate for him to do. But anyway, your guy.
Yeah.
Do you have some Millions advice on him? This is season long we're talking.
Yeah, this is season long. So in the position he's in, it's the do you play keep away and you are guessing what the most popular picks are for the week.
Right.
And you are just trying to stay in line because you don't think that there's a way to catch up. Or I don't know the financial situation, so I don't know if it's like the I'm going to go wacky and try to win this thing or not. So there's obviously two different, completely different angles to go about it. I mean, me personally, I have tried to guess what the most popular picks are every week.
It's not a great skill set for me either.
Yeah. I have done that because I was in this weird position where I was sitting in that low 300s, right?
Are you in there now?
But it's done so now. Like I'm.
If you went 5-0, you might cash.
I don't think I'd have to make up 200 spots.
But if you go 5-0, you might make up 200.
Maybe. But the last 2 weeks, I've been trying to do the. All right, I think these are going to be popular, so I'm going to play the other side. And no, like it's horrible. It's a horrible exercise for me.
Oh, yeah, I can't do it.
Like, I am very bad at trying to figure out what picks people like and which picks they don't.
I'm not good. I mean, and there was the one where I started one of the quarterlies at 0-5. We talked about this yesterday with Kelly, who's like, now you should go for the booby. I'm like, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a different, it's a whole different mindset. I'm like, okay. I like these, but does everybody else like these or whatever? And I'm going to go this way. I'm going to go that way.
So to your point then about this guy, and again, if he's in it, he's obviously, if he has that choice, obviously he's high enough where he's got to think about, do I continue and just take the ones that I think most people will take? We talked about a little with Crack yesterday. Crack is at 100 first. So right on the cusp.
So he's right. Yeah, he's there for sure.
Right on the cusp of being of cashing as well. 178th, I think was his other one. But so what is your best guess? Let's play that through. If you were to guess what the most popular picks are, let's start with tomorrow's games. Is Pittsburgh going to be one of the most popular picks because they're in a, again, not sacred must win, but nearly must win situation, and Baltimore has nothing to play for? or is it the Princess Bride thing, right? Which we were talking about with Kelly, which is like, you think that I'm going to put in the poison in that cup. So then he does like this whole psychology thing.
Well, one thing that has at least rung true throughout the course of the contest season, which is line moves do tend to make the picks more popular, right? Because I do that show with Derek and Jeff every week. And like one thing that we have noticed is sharp guys doesn't matter, average Joes doesn't matter, and everywhere in between, they will look, and if there's some sort of line move, you can almost always at least star those games, right? And
it's the Fezzik Crack Randy McKay way.
Yeah, yeah, and you just go in, and you're like, people will blindly play those no matter what. So in this situation, if you were trying to zig or other people zag, now that this thing is down to where it, you would play the Steelers,
you
right?
Would. Yeah, by you, that, that's
you would,
right.
You would play the Steelers because you would think that the majority of the people would be on the Ravens there at the plus four. Now that we're down to three with all that, then you get in the conspiracy theory stuff, which is like, do the Ravens want to lose this game because it increases the chance that the Bills don't make the playoffs? And so,
I've heard people throw that around. I do not think these teams think it through that far.
I do not think that they would think it through that far either. And if you also look at the Ravens, I mean, if we want to like really try to take like third level math with all of this stuff, and the Ravens in their preseason, they win every preseason game. Mm-hmm. This is basically going to be their preseason lineup out there. Go out there, and obviously they play very well together, and obviously their game plan, even with backups, is still very, very good. So you have a Ravens team that put out was on the field all preseason, just continuing to win games like they do every single year, and it's going to be those same guys that are going to be out there. Is there any reason for us to believe that they're not going to put up a good effort? You know, there's that as well.
I think he's got the Tyler Huntley free agency angle too, and him talking about trying to put on a show or whatever this weekend. So you got that going for you too.
I think TYA558, Todd, as he calls himself here, if that is your real name, I think what we're saying is you shouldn't get advice from us on this. You've done quite well yourself all the way to this. But I'm sure you, Todd, I'm sure he has thought through all of this stuff as well, which is depending on where he is, right? Yeah. If he's in third place versus 30th place, there's a difference.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think
he's way closer to the former than the latter.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yes.
So I think you opt for the, what are most people going to take? Let me try to be as conservative as possible.
Since I only, and I think you guys have talked about this all season long, since I only really have conviction on probably three of these each week or three or four of these each week, I would probably play the three that I liked, and then the other two I'd play keep away. That's probably what I would do.
Now, I said that if he's in third, he should probably play it more conservative. But if he's within a striking distance of one, let's say, right, that's a different story too, because you're going for the real pot. Then you do have to get a little frisky with a couple of the picks if that's your aim, which it should be. So it really depends on circumstance. That goes into it too. There is no perfect answer.
There's no perfect answer. Yeah. And we were just talking off air in the last break too, of like, you know, okay, a week ago, I was plotting out, okay, maybe am I still in this? I got to go like 10-0, 9-1. Matt, you were saying the same thing. There's part of my brain that's so glad I went like 2-3 last week and I'm out of this, because I have no idea what five sides I'd be picking.
Well, that's the second place person in the quarterly who's wedged in between the two humans place. He was like, well, you know, what should I do? I was like, you should just probably play what you play.
Yeah.
Because humans is going to do his thing. You just do what's got you this far. More with Matt Brown. His picks next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we got to take a break, talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store, online at Zyn.com. That's ZYN.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from the Barrage. Barcanada here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Matt Brown, the co-host of The Handle. Weekends here, 7 p.m. Eastern, along with Mike Somich here at VSiN. And, of course, the All Angles podcast joins us, as he does each and every Friday. And we were talking about this off air. So, again, I just want to do it again based on, I started out by saying, if I go 3-0, even if I go 2-1, I think I have the best Megapod record of all time. We've been doing that Megapod for over a decade. We do three best bets. And I'm always, with rare exception, mine are all sides. So 34-16-1, which is my current, is 67.65%. The dude in first place in millions, and they go five deep, which is way more difficult than three.
Tougher, yeah.
Way more difficult. He's 59-25-1. He goes by Saint 31, 70%.
Yeah. And he was on pace until last week to have the highest win percentage in contest history, not just Circa Million, of any contest here in Vegas.
Right.
But and could still, you know, if he goes 5-0, he could still get that.
Was he 2-3 last week, or 1-4?
2-3 or 3-2, somewhere along the way. But
how dare he have a 2-3?
We'll go 3-2, and your percentage gets worse. Yeah. Like that's how good he's running.
But it's crazy good. I mean, it's like you said, man, it's hard enough to find three that you really like in a week. Four, you might have like I'm okay with the fourth, but not really. The fifth, by the time you get to the fifth, you're just kind of like taking the best of like your worst opinions, yeah. Right? Like I have a bad opinion on all the rest of these, so I'll take the best of my bad opinion.
And I would hope he would admit, like in any season like that, you have to be running good, right? Yeah. But 59-25-1 is the equivalent of going each and every week, even with his bad quote unquote week this past week, 3-1-1.
It's absurd.
Every week doing that.
This is why I bring it back to yesterday. Whenever we had the conversation, I can't even imagine myself ever doing that for a season. It's why I love the quarterlies that Circa sets up, because I know because I've done it before over different periods of 3 to 4 weeks that I get that hot for a short period of time.
See, I'm with the
whole season.
I'm with the guy yesterday on Twitter, Jordan Pakel, I think his name was, where he says he actually does better over the long haul than he does in the quarterlies, because I don't know if. Clearly the answer is going 70% over 17 weeks is harder. But like, what is humans? What, 17-2-1 in his number one?
Yeah,
I ain't doing that either.
Yeah,
I find that almost as difficult.
It's wild.
There is zero room right for error there. So I don't know. We should all be so lucky.
All we can say. Is if you are even in the top 50 in this contest, you should. This is a. I know it's like you're probably not going to leave with a ton of money, but you should feel very accomplished, because to run that good over the course of an entire NFL season is an incredible accomplishment.
Now, but doesn't it seem like now, because millions, the grand prize is a pittance of $1 million. Does it seem like Survivor has gotten so big that you're like, great, you won millions. Congratulations to you.
When we compare the two, it does go,
Which, again, we could argue is... way more of an accomplishment.
Of course.
Way more of an accomplishment than it is in Survivor.
By the way, speaking of Survivor, my understanding of how it is now, we've talked to Greg Jones, one of the four remaining entrants. It remains four after last week. And one of the four doesn't want to chop the rest. They had the 1.75 chop. So each of them is guaranteed 1.75. They're playing for the rest. They're playing for the remaining $2.267 million. Three of the four wanted to just not even bother chopping that at this point either. But one of the four wants to go rogue and go for the whole thing. So they are still playing for that last
match. Yeah. I mean, I would have just at this point.
Me too. I don't want to live through it anymore.
I don't get it. Like at this point, I said, let's all four play the same team. They all have the same team available this week. I would have just said, let's all four play the same team. Let's just whatever. Boom. It makes it clean.
Of course.
You go in. You don't have to worry about the whole chops. Circa just pays you and pays you and pays you and pays you. And then you move on with your life. And
also, do you think the three guys who want out, or the three guys and gals who want out, I don't want to assume. Do you think they look at the guy who doesn't want to and is just like, dude, I hate you so much?
Most likely. Because as we know, the one holdout at 13 was looked at as hated.
Well, he earned it. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
With his outward comments.
Yeah, Matt, I don't know about you, but based off my experience at poker tables in those situations, yes, I've never hated anybody more in my life in that moment than, bro, I've been sitting here for 11 hours. Let me go with this money already. Come on.
You're a poker guy, though. Is there anything more right out of central casting, though, than that dude? Oh. Like, he's as the typical, like, young, brash poker player.
Yes. I mean, it is.
There's so many of them.
There's so many of all of that. And honestly, even if you didn't want to, would have come in for at least another partial chop again, even if you didn't want to chop it up just, you know, into fourths or something. Just say,
sure,
all right,
yeah.
Let's all take another.
Oh, we got through 1 week. Let's do it again.
Yeah, let's all take another. Yeah, let's all take another quarter million
or
whatever, and then we'll play it out for the last million. It's not like you're playing. It's seven figures that you would still be playing for.
No, man.
You know, but that you would still be playing
for. That's part of the, like, I think there is a temporary delusion that happens. Like, you forget
all the times you got lucky. You forget all the times that whatever, and you're like, course. I'm the best. Yeah, I'm the best but, there is. There a best there ever was.
I already talked about that you think, maybe you think it's you. But I'm just talking about the concept of the number becomes like it's a detachment. Mm. Where you don't think about, well, what could that buy? Like, you don't get in that kind of thing because you're just too busy hedging and monetizing and whatever the heck
you're literally
doing.
Goes back to the poker table because you're sitting there playing, like, in a big cash game. Like, if I had to bet $5,000, but they were hundreds,
right.
as opposed to just sliding this little stack of chips over, it would be different. But it's like, you know, chips, you know, whatever. Yeah, it's like, no big deal. Here you go.
The best is to imagine if your girlfriend or wife is sitting next to you when you do that and to see what her reaction would be. Like, what are you doing?
It's way easier to just slide that little thing over than it would be to be like, wow, that's a lot of money that I'm holding in my hands that I'm going to put in there.
I mean, it's kind of the same mindset. Like, you know, like, I don't have a ton of bets this week, right? Mm. But like, okay, I have a ton and I haven't done anything, unlike Matt Brown, hedging wise or getting off my positions on the Jaguars. So really what ends up happening this week is I roll into the final week of the season with a massive position on about a -150 money line compared to where it's at now at about -190, -200. So it's still a big bet, though, for me at the end of the day, not just because it's not like, I don't really have anything this week because I made a futures bet back in July. Like, no, this is a massive bet that comes down to a single game.
You both, what Kelly's talking about, because you missed it, both of you have Jags to win the division, to win the AFC South. How are you feeling about this?
I'm out where I'm at. Like, I'm rolling with it. I'm rolling with Gil.
I'm trying to figure out what I would prefer, because like you read all these beat writers who are saying like Trevor Lawrence is out there, looks horrible in practice. And so I'm kind of like, well, would I rather at least have a healthy CJ Beathard than like, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
I want to go down with Trevor. Trevor, I know he's playing. I know all those guys are going to try to go.
See, Matt, just slipped that in.
What, Beathard?
Yes.
I don't know. It's Matt Brown. Yeah. I've gotten so used to it.
So, is that where the beat writers are? Actually, is that a quote?
Yeah, there's the guys who are out of practice saying, like, he just looked like he was throwing, like, 6-yard and 7-yard passes and stuff and all this. And so it's like, cool.
Kelly and I talked about that. Like he almost like this, and I know he finally didn't play last week, but until then it was like, all right, Trevor, you're allowed to sit.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to be so brave. But yeah, if he looks terrible, oh boy.
I know. It's Jaguar, it is what it is.
Yeah, Jaguars 3.5-point favorites now. Kelly's you talk about the money line -190-ish. On the Jags.
I got a sweet money line for this game, Gil. Sweet money line.
At Tennessee. And then the Mike Vrabel press conference that everybody's talking about where he's like, no. A reporter asked a question he found offensive. Then before he would answer the second reporter's question, he went, what did you mean by that? You want to elaborate? What would you have me do? Right. So you could tell he was super annoyed by that. But everybody's translating that into, oh, the Titans are going to come and really perform at a high level in this.
Yeah. I don't even know who's playing quarterback for them.
What, me you, either.
Do you want to slip in one pick here? Before
yeah. How about this? I'll give. I don't always get the best of the line. I actually got the way worse of this one. So I have the Bucs at 5.5 over the Panthers. I thought for sure this would get to 6 on Sunday when these lines opened out, and so I was like, all right, I got to get this in before this thing. I thought this thing could move all the way to a touchdown, considering how inept the Panthers have looked all season long, and now it's the full on dead team walk. Last game of the year, no coach, no whatever. I was like, okay, this is it. Like it's going to be. This is where this thing like blasts through like all the way to a touchdown, even though it's the Bucks, and instead it went the other direction on me. So not a huge difference in 5.5 and 4.5, but I did get the worst of that one. It's the typical everything to play for, absolutely nothing to play for. And honestly, if I look at my power ratings, this came out to about right. I have the Bucks kind of in that middle-ish range where I have the Panthers down as the worst team in the NFL.
Does it matter what NFC South team makes the playoffs? Do you think one of them's more alive in a playoff game than the others?
I think the Bucks, just because of the firepower, is at least minimally more scary than the other teams.
Matt's got 3 more picks. We're on one together. We're Oppo on another. It's next.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly, and they'll get the NBA League Pass for the rest of the season. Download the app and use the promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Kelly Bidlan, and Matt Brown, host of the All Angles podcast, co-host of The Handle, here with Mike Somich, 7 p.m. week ends Saturday and Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern at the network. Are you betting NBA and golf as well now?
Not NBA yet. Spots here and there, but mostly mostly NFL. And then, you know, I got into the golf a little bit this week. Was MIA on the long shots pod this week. Woke up with the dreaded couldn't talk.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
There's
stuff going around right now.
Yeah, and, but I've been dying over here all week on air. Yeah, if you hear someone coughing in the background from 30 yards away, no, it's just me.
Okay. Remember, I had that for 2 days last year. I don't know if it was you or Paul's, where literally no sound came out of me.
Yeah.
And it's like the kryptonite. You're like, I'm sorry, I feel fine. I can't come into work. Coming out of me.
I text him, like, I don't feel bad. I just can't talk.
I can't talk.
Yeah, I was like, I don't feel bad. I just can't talk.
I don't want to address the text you sent me last night. I was dead asleep, but I woke up. I had the same thing.
Yeah. You had Morikawa first round? Yeah, I did too. Only for Thigala to destroy the back nine and crush our dreams.
After last year getting run down by Rahm with Morikawa. Morikawa first round leader ticket already.
Let's just start golf off the right way.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back. Take a winner that you're sitting there almost spending the money in your head, and instead, a guy runs him down. I think he went 7 under on the back nine or something.
He teased us too, because like he had that one bad hole, and I was like, okay, cool. Like, just give me the dead heat. Like, I'm going to be dead heated to death, but whatever. Give me that. And then now, birdie.
You ever been happy with a dead heat result? Like when you actually find out what ends up in your account? Are you like a...
I would say I could count on one hand how many times I've been happy. You are right. Almost every time you go and look at what ends up in your account, you're like, that's it?
The math is yet another way that the sports will get you. The math is not what you think it is.
Yes.
Although I will say it's a lot better to be dead heated than just straight up lose.
That's for sure.
There are definitely books...
What number did you have on Morikawa, first round leader?
20-1, I think I had.
Nice.
Well, you had something around there.
Yeah.
Thigala. All right, Matt, you and I are simpatico on the Bears.
Yeah, I like that one a good amount. I mean, this is kind of like your classic narrative street week, week 18. If you ever want to sit there and do the whole, okay, I'm going to play a storyline, I think that week 18 does come into play with all of that. I mean, if you look at this Bears team, they've just been playing much, much better over the second half of the season. The defense figured out something somewhere along the way, and now you've got a coach and a quarterback who are, I know you've been given the, supposedly Eberflus has been given the we'll have you back thing, but come on, until it's official, it's not official, right? And so you've got a coach and a quarterback that are trying to kind of play for their jobs, you know, when it's all said and done. Now, I don't think Justin Fields is going to be able to do any. I think Justin Fields could throw for 500 yards in this game, and they're still going to move on from him, because you get a rookie quarterback and on a rookie deal, and we've talked about this
a million times.
Like, it just, you know, if
it's just how the economic structure works.
Yeah, it's just much better for your team.
And if you can trade Justin Fields for a haul,
yes,
all the better.
I finally settled on that too. Like, the Bears should trade him just because of the rookie contract.
We talked about this on the Megapod yesterday. Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt. I apologize, Kelly. We said this about the Skins too, where it's like they'll inquire about Justin Fields, and then when they find out what the asking price is, they'll also be like, we'll just draft a quarterback. Like, I don't think they'll do it because of that. Yeah. Because it just, again, you can only win a Super Bowl with the rookie quarterback that's overperforming or a Hall of Famer. And Justin Fields ain't going to be either of those two at this point. Could be. We'll see. But right now, he's not.
I think what you see with Caleb Williams, I know we're getting off on a tangent here, but it's like, I think what you see with Caleb Williams and you compare him to Justin Fields, and you say, okay, well, then what is the floor of both of these guys? And I think you would probably say it's fairly comparable with those guys. And then what's the ceiling? And look, we've had a few years to try to get the ceiling from Fields. We don't really even have any idea what that could possibly be. And the ceiling for Caleb Williams, if you believe these draft scouts, again, I'm not a talent evaluator, is way, 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 way up there. And I think given, like we said, not only the economics of all of the stuff, but given what the upside could potentially be, the move is just made for you. You know, I mean, it's a bummer for Fields, but it's just, I think the move is made for you.
We might have to have you stay over, because I just want to say one other thing. What we were talking about on the Megapod yesterday was the reason that it's so difficult. And there is no one knows what the answer is. Let's just establish that. you're either going to be right about this or you're going to be wrong.
Yeah.
Or maybe some gray area in between, and none of these guys are going to win you a Super Bowl. But like the thing about the reason that calculus is so difficult also, if you go by the question of, hey, would Washington have been better this year? Would they have won more football games with Justin Fields as their quarterback instead of Sam Howell? The answer is a resounding yes. They would have. With a sieve of offensive line, he would have made plays that no one else could have made besides Lamar Jackson. They would have won more games. So you have to contend with that feeling of, oh, we would have been so much better and we got these receivers and we would have, yeah. You know, and then reality hits you like, yeah, but then because it's before the big contract, why would we do that?
Yeah.
It still doesn't make sense.
My new theory in all of this, depending on how things shake out, if the Patriots don't go off and win this weekend, which who knows, maybe they will, is I actually think it could go 1-2-3 quarterback in the draft this year, yeah. With Jaden Daniels slipping into that third deal, because it's kind of like you said. So at the end of the day, we all know you cannot win long-term without a quarterback in the NFL. So you, okay, surefire offensive line pick, Gil. Great. He's an all-pro offensive line, but if he's blocking for Mac Jones or Bailey Zappi, it doesn't matter. Like, right? If you can get this great pass rusher. Okay, great. I've got the most awesome pass rusher ever. But if your offense can't score any points, it doesn't matter, right? And so if you look at a guy like Daniels and you believe, okay, best deep ball thrower in college football this year, has ridiculous athleticism with his legs, and hey, what's the upside for a guy like that? Is the upside like Lamar Jackson? Well, then you pull the trigger, right? I mean, and if you're wrong, you're wrong. Like, I mean, whatever. It just is what it is, but you're not really that far off from where you are anyway, possessing Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi and all these other guys. And so I've kind of come along, again, depending on how, if New England wins this week, then I don't know, because I think the Cardinals might actually decide to hold on to Kyler Murray, which I think that would be silly too. But
well, that's what Aaron Schatz was saying, that the difference between Kyler Murray and Justin Fields is Kyler Murray, you've already signed that deal, the big deal.
So yeah, it's already there.
Yeah, so you don't have that to even consider.
You know what you're working with anyway. Right. Yeah, you know what you're working with all that. Okay, anyway, sorry. I know I derailed that segment. So let's talk about that Bills and Dolphins game, since we're
Oppo. Opposite.
Yeah. So this was made the second this line hit on Sunday. And the reason that I did that, the injury report for the Dolphins could have been absolutely disgusting, right? And that said, it is still not great, but it's not as bad as I thought. I mean, we're getting Tua out there practicing in full, which, I mean, if you guys remember, on Sunday, there was a chance that Tua was going to be hurt, right?
Sore,
I mean,
sore shoulder.
Yeah, like he looked like he was at least a little bit gimpy with everything. I mean, that being said, we still have Bradley Chubb, Tyreek Hill, Xavier Howard, Raheem Mostert, Jalen Waddle, and Achane that didn't practice yesterday. So we'll see how the practice report comes through for them today. But it was more based off of, and I'll just, you know, fully, it was more based off the fact that I thought that maybe there was a chance that if Tua was even slightly hurt, that you're not going to take a chance on running him out there and doing anything like that. So that was kind of where that was based off of. I don't hate the number as it is right now, but I think everything's about appropriate. I think it's about right with everything. Also, it goes into this deal. It's like, how hurt do we think Josh Allen is as well, which that's a little bit scary for me. I'll admit, I did think of taking the three with the Dolphins and then just having the 2.5 with the Bills and just praying for a field goal, praying for a field goal there. But then the three went away. So I'm on the position I'm on, and we'll see. If a three pops again, then maybe I'll just kind of do that. It's the position certainly weakened when Tua was been practicing in full all week.
Well, you know, you would expect practice today to influence this line a lot, right? Depending on who's out there or not on Friday injury report with all those guys for the Dolphins. Yeah, I'm interested to see how much this could move, either more towards the Bills or towards the Dolphins based off of that, because there's so many guys that are banged up. The Josh Allen point's what's kept me off this game.
Well, put it this way, if it's a 2.5 now and Howard practices and Waddle practices and Hill practices and Chubb practices, right, and also like this is gonna, yeah, this will keep moving in the Dolphins direction for sure.
I asked this of Pritchard earlier in the week, pardon me, if I come to you from the future and I say, hey, it wasn't a Ravens Niners Super Bowl, another team got in there, AFC or NFC, who's the team?
Browns
now, you say?
Browns.
Okay.
With the defense that they are going to put out on the field each and every week, and then the way that they've just flipped this offense, and they're kind of like, hey, look, YOLO 40 times a game with Flacco.
He's got to have a bad game,
you've got Amari Cooper. welcome back David Njoku from the dead, you know, and Elijah Moore.
He's finally the guy we all thought he'd be, yeah. David Njoku. Yeah, like, watching him week to week, I'm like, where have you been?
We always hear post-hype sleepers. This is like the post-hype sleeper. Like, you know, 5 years down the line, he finally becomes the guy that we thought he could be. So I think the Browns, and mainly, again, because the defense, I think, is always going to keep them in one-score-ish games. And then that makes things get a little dicey.
But you took the Bengals in that game this week, though.
Yes.
You
laid
the points.
Yeah.
All right. Matt can hang out if he wants. Kelly and I coming back with Matt or without. On the other side, Lebatard is next. Dan Lebatard at the DK Network. We're coming back at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.